This is Srinivas Rao, the host of the Vistage podcast, and this morning I'm speaking with Michael Gelb, the author of How to Think Like Leonardo da Vinci. Michael, thanks so much for taking the time to join us and share some of your insights with the Vistage listeners this morning.
My pleasure. Thank you.
So, Michael, can I really learn to think like da Vinci? And if so, how do I do it?
Well, you can think more like da Vinci. I abstracted seven principles from my study of Leonardo's life and work. And I didn't do this by channeling or going into a mystic realm. I did it through something very simple and practical. I actually read through Leonardo's notebooks. There are about 7,000 pages that exist. And I looked for the advice that he gave to his students. And it turns out he was a very generous teacher. He gave lots of really practical advice on how we can develop our creative ability. So I captured that practical advice and then translated it into contemporary language so that people can learn the principles that Leonardo himself recommended for developing your own creative potential.
Mm-hmm. So what can you walk us through those principles briefly?
Sure. Leonardo was probably the most curious person who ever lived. He was curious about absolutely everything. And he recognized that the key to continuing to develop your mind as you get older is to maintain and strengthen that childlike, passionate curiosity, which is, of course, our birthright. He guides us in the process of questioning. He suggests all sorts of powerful questions that we can ask ourselves. But the big takeaway is that questions are more important than answers. The second principle is to think for yourself. And Leonardo guided his students. He said, learn to look at things from different perspectives. Assume that you're probably prejudiced. Drop your preconceptions. Seek out contrarian points of view. Sleep on it. Only then can you say that you thought about it. The third principle is to sharpen all your senses. And for business people, this comes down to some very practical disciplines like listening. And there's a fancy word for it today. People call it mindfulness, but it just means pay attention. The fourth principle is to embrace uncertainty and change. And Leonardo knew that if you were looking for really creative solutions, by definition, they were going to be new. And if they were going to be new, it meant you had to let go of the old. So I call this confusion endurance. It's learning to smile like the Mona Lisa in the face of the unknown. The fifth principle is to balance today we'd call it the two sides of the cerebral cortex, the left and right, logic and imagination, art and science. Learn to be rational, logical, and analytical, and imaginative, intuitive, and playful. The sixth principle often surprises people. It's to balance the body and the mind. We tend to think of genius and creativity as purely mental disciplines, but Leonardo had tremendous energy. He was renowned as the strongest man in Florence, and he gave lots of counsel on developing your physical energy because he knew that physical energy feeds the passionate curiosity, feeds your ability to have the stamina to persevere through the unknown and find new solutions. And the seventh principle is to be a systems thinker. It's to learn to look for unexpected connections and relationships. And Leonardo was a master at this. On a personal level, this means understanding your own sense of purpose, mission, values, and then looking at how that translates into what you actually do every day. And obviously for businesses, it means the same thing. What's your purpose? What's your mission? What are your values? And how are they expressed in your recruiting and hiring, in your training and development, in your incentive and compensation, and everything else you do every day? Leader's job is to look for the gaps between your vision and your reality and constantly be making adjustments, and that process never ends.
Well, you know, I think you bring up a lot of interesting points, and I feel like so many of the things you brought up are so relevant to how we need to operate and show up in the world today, regardless of what our professions are. But on the flip side of that, I think we've sort of been brainwashed into conformity, And a lot of these things go against the grain a little bit. So what I'm curious about is, one, how does a business owner cultivate this mindset in his employees? And also, how does he himself embrace it to get the best out of his employees?
That's a really important question. It's not just to your employees. It's also as a parent to your children. And the answer is the same. You have to model the qualities. You have to embody the qualities. I mean, that's why I wrote the book. That's why I do these seminars, because we all need all the help we can get, because as you say, the pressures to conform, the pressures to just forget about conforming. People are just so overwhelmed. They're so busy that it's hard to step back and examine yourself. And, you know, the classic advice of Socrates was that the unexamined life is not worth living. And the corollary of that, of course, is the unlived life isn't worth examining. But the key answer is you have to model these qualities. If you talk about, I see too many CEOs, they send out memos, innovation is important, creativity is important, they give inspiring speeches, they even bring in motivational speakers on the topic, but then they don't actually reward collaboration, creativity, and innovation, and effectively, in many cases, they punish it. So that's the formula for building cynicism. And it takes a lot of mindful self-reflection. It takes being open to feedback. You have to get out of the rat race and take some time to really work on yourself and work on the consciousness, the awareness of your own weaknesses, which obviously, you know, this is what leadership's all about. It's hard to do. People love to talk about their strengths and they love to talk about the great things they're doing, but you only really grow by reflecting on your areas for development, change, and improvement.
So one other thing I've heard you say is that genius is made and not born, and that we have an ability to uncover our hidden abilities. And I know that, you know, modeling some of these seven principles are a bit of how we do this, but how do people uncover their own genius? What are some tactical things that people listening to this could do to uncover their own genius?
Well, I'll give you the number one thing people can do, and it is to overcome a syndrome, which is a pandemic in business in America and around the world. Most businesses, most business people suffer from what I call premature organization. They've been trained to try to get the right answer. They put things down in an outline or bullet points. They start with number one, go to number two, number three, number four. They have trouble generating lots of ideas because they're trying to get the right answer. The cure for that is to do what I call generating first, then organizing. And it comes straight from the notebooks of Leonardo, where he guides his students. He says, if you want to quicken your spirit of invention, he says, let your mind go free. Think of an infinity of things, divine landscapes, which you may then reduce to their complete and proper forms. This is like the writer's motto. I've written 13 books. And the reason I'm able to write all these books is that I generate first and then I organize. The writer's motto is write drunk, revise sober. See, if you write sober and revise sober, your work is deadly boring. Nobody wants to read it. If you write drunk and revise drunk, nobody can read it. So you write drunk, revise sober. In other words, you generate first, then you organize. Like Leonardo said, think of an infinity of things, let your mind go free, then you reduce them to their complete and proper form. So this is the yin and yang of critical and creative thinking working together. But creative thinking needs to come first, then critical, then creative, then critical, and you go back and forth. Most people are just stuck in critical thinking, and that shuts down their creativity and locks down their potential for innovation.
Uh-huh. Well, I think for me, what it boils down to, as somebody who has done a fair amount of writing, is that creativity or creation is not a linear process. And for what's funny is throughout our lives, we're taught to do so many things in a linear fashion. And I think that's part of what it takes is learning how to not do things in a linear fashion, which is exactly kind of what you said about create first, organize later.
Exactly. Exactly. And it's not that we're throwing out the notion of linearity altogether. Do you know, when I send in a book proposal, I put it in an outline. It's very linear, neat, logical, and clear. But if I tried to think in outlines, I never would have written anything. Learning to embrace that apparent chaos, learning to go into the unknown, is a critical element of the creative and innovative process, but it's not encouraged. You know, if you're seem to be daydreaming, if you're taking breaks, if you're practicing your juggling or listening to classical music, which are all things I advise people to do, people think, gee, you're not working hard. But Leonardo da Vinci once told the Duke of Milan, men of genius sometimes work best when they work least.
I love that. I don't think I have anything else to add to that. I want to touch on something else. I've heard you say that most people don't think because they never learned how. What do you mean by that?
Well, I studied philosophy and I studied logic and I studied different modes of thinking, logical and illogical. And I'm really, really glad I learned that because my background in logic helped set the stage for my ability to think in a non-linear way. And I would make the case to people that it's actually more logical to learn to use your imagination, your intuition, and to embrace non-linear modalities. But most of us haven't stopped to think about thinking. Most of us are operating on our prejudices, and we don't want to reflect. And unless you're regularly noticing what your prejudices are, you can be pretty sure you're not thinking. You know, William James, the great psychologist, once said that people aren't thinking, they're just rearranging their prejudices. So we have, again, it comes back to this core element of leadership development, which is self-reflection. It is openness to understanding what you don't know about yourself. What are your the nature of the unconscious is that it's really unconscious. You really don't know. You really don't know what your prejudices are unless you are actively seeking to discover them and looking for feedback. This is humbling, but it creates a humility from which a deeper confidence can arise.
Excellent. Well, Michael, I know that you have a new book out, one in which you talk about memory. And I want to ask you one last question, which is, doesn't your memory decline after age 30? Aren't we destined to lose it?
Uche, I don't know if I can remember which book is. No, I'm only kidding. yes, I wrote a book called Brain Power, Improve Your Mind as You Age. And people have probably heard the term neuroplasticity. Neuro means brain cell, of which you have 100 billion. Plasticity means changeable, flexible, adaptable. Neuroscientists are not the kind of people who make up new words lightly. They only do it when they really discover a profound new phenomenon. And neuroplasticity has, in our lifetime, replaced the old paradigm of neurostasis, the idea that your brain couldn't change or develop or grow as you got older. As a matter of fact, we grew up with something even worse. I call it neuronecrosis, the idea that your brain was dying off and there was nothing you could do to change or develop it. We now know that your brain is actually designed to improve with use. So in Brain Power, Improve Your Mind as you age, I wrote about the research-validated practical things that the average person can do to actually improve their minds as they get older. Of course, the good news is a lot of what you can do is exactly what Leonardo counseled and is also expressed in the 7 Principles for Thinking Like Leonardo da Vinci.
Excellent. Well, Michael, this has been really, really fascinating. Can you tell our listeners a little bit more about where they can learn about your work?
Sure. Please go to michaelgelb.com. That's G-E-L-B, michaelgelb.com. There's lots of free articles. There's 18 videos if you hunt around, including a really fun video in which I talk about another book I wrote called wine drinking for inspired thinking. Uncork your creative juices, and you can get some guidance on how to do wine tasting as a team building exercise.
Excellent. Well, Michael, thanks so much for taking the time to join us. This has been Srinivas Rao, the host of the Vistage podcast. And until next time, good luck with your business.